Thank you to those of you who have returned. Turn that off. Okay. So in the time that we have left, I am interested in doing two things. The first thing that I would like to do is continue the sort of pattern of hot takes on what we heard in here and patterns in what happened right now. And then rather than trying to wrap it up and make some generalizations, I'm not ready to do that yet. I need to spend some more time with your data. And so I would like to then spend whatever the second part of the remaining time is talking about next time, the next set of three presentations. And specifically, I would like to ask some different questions now that I've had the benefit of this really strange assignment of asking people to talk about things they don't understand. I'm really excited to move into the next set of presentations where on purpose it's something that you would understand. And in some ways I want to play this next set of presentations off of the limitations of the first set. And so to bring that back around then, so that's the two things. Hot takes about today and then teeing us up for next time and a little bit of permission asking on my part because that second round of presentations has been assigned and it's been described, but I would like to change the description and some of the data points, and so we can talk about that briefly. And I realize it's not cool to change things while we're flying, but I'm going to do a little bit of that. So the first thing, and on the anticipating what we could do if we were working in a language that we were a native speaker of and we were talking about places that we know well, is boundaries. I think today, again, where the boundaries are for where public space or the public environment starts and stops is really all over the place, and I think it's probably an unreasonable thing to try to do without that expertise. And some of you had the benefit of native speakers and people who understood, and we got some sense of where some of the boundaries are. But that's one big bundle of what could be different in the next cycle, is specifically trying to take a picture of or have a definition of where is something that marks a differentiation, either in degree of publicness. We probably know about these places that we know about well enough that some of us could indicate a boundary of publicness. But then I think there's also the question of the, is it or isn't it? Like, I'm still looking for a, how would you know for sure that something is public environment or public space or not? So those shades of gray, if we can get at them, that would be super. But I think just from whatever places that we know, if we could look to, you know, sometimes in the pavement, when you're walking on a pavement, there is a bump. When I was a small child, we would travel in an automobile a lot to different states. And when you would go over the boundary between one state and another, a parent would say, "Did you feel the bump?" There's presumably two different road crews who maintain those two different roads, and that there would be some sort of noticeable, besides the sign that says, "Welcome to Michigan," if you're driving back from Chicago, that there's some sort of a something you could point to as a boundary between public and private. That would be interesting because we've seen a whole range of that, including one that came up today, which I'm quite interested in, is the idea that you feel it. And I don't know how you take a picture of that, but that you would know, you would have a ability to sense a feeling of differentness between a public environment, a public space, and something that is not that. Other kinds of things that I took note of in my chicken scratching while you were talking today. Continuing to build a list of the purpose, or what we think some of the purposes of public space and the public environment are. Again, we heard something about the distribution of wealth, or the redistribution of wealth. Maybe in one case where a wealthy person created a fountain and then couldn't maintain it anymore and then gives custody of that to the city around it, that there is a hand-me-down nature to public space, let's say, where wealth and power have an interest and they make something. And then something changes and then the status of their fetish object then changes to make it a public thing. Yes? The boundedness of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are multiple who's that we've heard from, and I was writing down as you were enumerating them, so thank you. Who and what is the source of the public environment? Yeah. I saw some more evidence today of the public environment's purpose to be reinforcing social rank. Maybe in the process of that redistribution of wealth or the granting by some entity to a broader group of folks than who had access before, that in that granting there is a reifying of social boundaries. We saw that sometimes even the words that are chosen, if there is a more formal language and a more conversational language, that maybe there's even something about the way that we set up description in language that's part of that reinforcing social rank. And we might call something architecture in order to convey prestige, and that there are other words that we might not use because they don't feel fancy enough. Wayfinding continues to show itself as one of the purposes of the public environment. Defining of centers for activities to take place in, setting up expectations for where you should go. I loved the picture of the agora and the port and the idea that the way that the space is set up is sort of telling you what you need to do. Setting expectations about where to go and what to do. As we'd seen before, circulation looms pretty large as one of the biggest functions of or purposes of a public environment, and to that question of who gives the public environment, in many ways the canals, like I think it was from Vietnam, was the picture of the boats full of the market goods. And so whoever chose to keep those canals navigable is giving over some sort of, or maintaining, creating a public space. And roads, and I loved the idea of unanticipated effect of incentives to keep people using the roads more for people stuff and less for vehicles, that then that drives the idea that vehicle owning, if you take up more of the public environment, that you have more right to use it, and that possession through spatial footprint, that me as an individual person, that I command less of it than if I have this metal
object, or the people who had the boats in the canal were able to be merchants. The rest of us are limited to walking on the sidewalk and pointing at the things we want from them, maybe. So circulation and roads and the idea of that share and exchange function that needs to happen in the culture, that because the circulation, just like in our physical body, circulation is homeostasis. Circulation in cities and where people are is a homeostatic concern. And so the things that keep the culture alive or keep the places alive, even if it's a dominated by power kind of place, that circulation is still something that is an interdependency in an urban environment. So is that maybe, is it the circulatiness of it that makes it, lends itself to being a public environment? Or is it the necessary to homeostasis? And could we find other examples that don't include circulation that are about keeping it alive that help cue us into what are the public environments? Certainly we heard again today that the distribution of food or the storage of food or that dirty lake in a space where some people are trying to clean it up to make it look nice, but yet some other people are using it for sustenance. They need to actually eat the fish out of there or there won't be dinner. Homeostasis, not just circulation, access to storage of food, maybe being one of them. Another purpose of the public environment, consolidation and focus for things that are political and cultural. Making some things more visible than others. And that is another aspect that I was fascinated by in the example today of that bazaar that was so knitted into the fabric of the urban space that it's covered up and that somehow is defining a space. But in other examples, that being visible and that visibility of people in the space is what makes it a public environment, and that we've had both kinds of that being covered is part of what makes it a public space and being uncovered is what makes it part of a public space. So that one feels a little bit slippery. Let's see, other notes I took. I loved the idea of the public in terms of public display of affection and that Google image search that brought up some behaviors that were maybe taboo. And that makes me wonder and goes back to the question of boundaries, is would we have more confidence in guessing that a space is a public space when it's the kind of space that affords the breaking of cultural norms? Being able to go for a walk with somebody and touch them more than the culture would like you to do, that's got a sense of, well, it's open enough and we were far away enough from people that we could do that. So is there something about places where breaking of cultural norms is possible, either through you can't see me good enough, or there's too many people and your people with the canes to hit me for doing it can't reach me. I think that is an interesting potential source of what gives the public environment is sloppiness in the boundaries and places where norms can be violated. And that might connect up with that idea from the Netherlands that they have they have spaces that people can use, like a shopping environment, but a live newscast would not be permitted in that space. So that gets again to the, is it possible to break the social norms in that space or not? If there are so many security cameras and so much security around that they stop you from making your own record of what happens there, that doesn't feel like a very public space. I loved having the idea that the demarcation of space might work differently on the horizontal plane than on the vertical axis, and that even while in maybe North American, Midwestern culture, the idea that you would have a church stacked with, that ecclesiastical space can be blended with non-sacred space, and that that's okay in some places, and that that might be happening in a vertical way, which is a different orientation than the other way. That was fascinating to me. And then maybe lastly, on the boundaries piece, the example from Sweden, and I was taken back in memory to being driven around in Sweden by my friend and observing how much vastly open space they have there, and his taking note of that that is available to everybody. And that your access to it, your ability to use it, is some sort of a fundamental right of being a Swede, or a fundamental right of humans in an environment that's open like that, but that it's predicated on not injuring it or leaving your mark or making a fire or something. I think that's maybe another clue to publicness, is accountability for the consequences of your presence or action in that space. When people are careful about the reverberations, the evidence of their use of a space. For example, if you're in New York City and if you're at George Washington Square in Greenwich Village and somebody was in a hurry and they tried to throw litter into a wastebasket and they missed, I suspect it wouldn't take too long for somebody to pick it up and take it the next way. Why is that? Is there something about a deal that exists between users of the public environment and trashing it, and that there's some sort of assumption that it's public because I am a participant in its caretaking? I'm not sure. So those were some of the impressions that I drew from today. I'm curious if there were others that you had. Things that you heard that surprised you, shocked you, caused you alarm or delight. The insidious spread of the word design into all other languages in a way that it sounds like the word design, something that continues to appear to be a thing. Okay. Well, then let's shift to what might be different about the next time around. And I took a look at the minimum data sheet that we used for this time around. And because the next iteration is for us to pick a place that we know well and a language that we know well, my sense is there are enough of us who will not be using English for this part of the assignment that a lot of the original parameters are still interesting. And that because you've got personal expertise in non-English languages, that we could have an even more meaningful differentiation and exploration of things like, is there a verb or not for something like architect and design, and the difference between finer gradations in the use of language that you can detect as an expert native speaker. So I'm inclined to leave most of those criteria in place and to add just a handful more, and I realize this increases the burden on you to collect this. The first one is, and I'm going to consider this in light of the conversation we've already had around it, but the idea of boundary, and that you could point out and specify a real boundary we could appreciate, and that your ability as an expert about this place, or having a lot of knowledge about it and mastery of its language, that you could say, here's an absolute difference between public and private, or here is a reliable gradation of what is considered to be public, and in this tier, participants X, Y, and Z are welcome to participate. In this other tier, participants A, B, and C are welcome to participate. But adding one field that says a boundary, and then having the data be either a picture or a paragraph to explain what this boundary is between private, or maybe between the public environment and everything else, let's say. So that's one that I'm interested in. Another one that I would love to interject, and it surfaced it on its own in any number of ways, but I'm interested in it in particular. The presence of beauty on purpose as part of the constituting of the space, or the making of the space, or the maintenance of the space, that you could look for that and make an indication if that's going on, if that's part of what is going on in the public environment, is the making it be beautiful or highlighting beauty as part of what it means and why it is a public space. And that could be a fairly straightforward checkbox. Are they doing beauty stuff on purpose there, yes or no? And that would be really interesting to me to collect that and have conversations around that. And then lastly, and maybe a little bit more complex, but I think it is worth asking you to do it because you're going to be in a position to detect this, is, and maybe this gets to boundary, and maybe I'll back off of boundary as an explicit thing and keep sort of hitting it at multiple angles. Because if I had to trade adding a field for boundary or trading it for this one, I would go for this one, which is identification of things that are held in tension in that space, a la the performance continuums idea. So I would set up the data sheet for you to have at least two concepts that are being held in tension, and then the ability for you to indicate how you think that tension is being navigated. So one might be homeless people as users, and tourists as users. And it's true about the space that they are users of the space. And where on this continuum you think that the balance has been set in the status quo environment. Not that that's good, and it will allow us to have a discussion perhaps on the what is the virtue of this public space given how it's making this balance between these entities. And so I will provide some words, not just mouth words right now, but in tweaking the assignment to help describe what I'm looking for here. But another sort of aspect of this in building these is both entities are a thing. That's the, so if there was no expression, there was no sense of, if the homeless people were forbidden from that space, they're never allowed there, the security guards get them out of there immediately, then that's not an interesting tension because it's completely lopsided. So things that are real in the environment that are in tension with one another, and then your assessment, and it'll be a sort of a Likert compatible scale, 0 in the middle, 5 in each direction, where do you think it's being balanced? And getting about 40 of those into the data set would help me a lot. And as I will continue reminding you, this is mostly for me. So I continue to appreciate the work that you do to build this data set so that we can continue to push the boundaries of this nascent field of information architecture and how it relates or doesn't relate to stuff in the built environment. So other questions, do you all have any data points for this next go-around that you would be curious about that we could task your brothers and sisters with working on? It's not a time-limited question. I hope to have the changes to this assignment published to Canvas before tomorrow morning. So in trying to maximize fairness to those of you who present a week from today. So between now and breakfast time tomorrow, if you have thoughts about information that we could have everybody collect about these public environments that we know, we're gonna have experts on this, So we can get into things that are not as dumb as the stuff that we did the first time. That'll make it fun. Okay. Then class dismissed, and I'll see you a week from today. And please send me your suggestions for the new data if you have them.